Welcome back to The Pulse. I'm Tanya English. So it's the New Year's show, and we've been looking ahead. But sometimes to move ahead, you need to pause and look back. Alana Gordon is with us in the studio, and she wants to rewind a bit. Hey, Alana.
Hey, Tanya. I was thinking 500 years.
Okay, why 500 years?
Well, if we rewind that far back, we get to a moment, to Andreas Vesalius, actually, and his book that really helps set the stage for modern medicine. He hits the scene in the 1500s.
Well, it was an extraordinary time because it was really the time of the scientific revolution.
That is Jackie Bowman. She's director of education at the College of Physicians in Philadelphia. That's where the Mutter Museum is.
There was a whole birth of this generation of people who were really examining the world around them.
What was happening in those years, there was a perfect storm.
This is Dr. Sal Mangione. He's a pulmonologist and professor of history and physical diagnosis at Thomas Jefferson University's Medical School.
It's a transition period. Okay, so the Renaissance is coming to an end. You have some very interesting personalities.
Like Copernicus, you know, establishing that the Earth and other planets rotate around the sun.
That was pretty amazing.
And you had the creation of universities to foster these ideas. Italy, where Dr. Mangione is from, it's a hub for this. And on top of all of that,
Gutenberg had invented the printing press.
And you had books being published about plants, about animals. This was the time of the Atlas.
So it's amid all of this, Tanya, that we get back to the main character of this story, Vesalius, who, by the way, just turned 500.
Okay, happy birthday to him. And who was he?
Well, I asked several medical students if they knew who he was. They didn't either. But Dr. Mangione and Bowman, they say Andreas Vesalius is an important guy that we should all know about.
Vesalius gives the beginning of medicine.
He really was the founder of modern anatomy.
By giving us, in many ways, the very first course that medical students study when they come to school, which is anatomy.
So Vesalius is born in 1514 in Brussels. He's from a very well-to-do family.
The father was the pharmacist to Charles V.
Vesalius then goes to Italy, to the University of Padua, to study.
Vesalius came when Padua was the Harvard of the time.
And right after he graduates, he's young, he's in his early 20s, he becomes a professor there. And it's in that role that he apparently really shakes things up. Now, I want to bring in Beth Lander. She's a librarian, also at the College of Physicians with Bowman.
I think it may be safe to refer to him as a bit of a rebel. He liked to do things his own way.
Vesalius was actually pretty short physically. He was thought to have some form of dwarfism. But what he did, Tanya, was big. He dissected cadavers, and he didn't just have students watch, they participated.
Okay, wait a minute. Isn't that what all medical students do?
Not at that time. Mangione says Vesalius was really the first one to bring human dissection into the classroom on a large scale.
Before Vesalius, they were looking at books, assuming that the information in the books was correct.
And the books they were looking at, they were from more than 1,000 years before, by this guy Galen. And Galen's teachings, they weren't even directly based on human anatomy, because during that time, 200 AD, dissecting humans really wasn't cool with the Greeks or the Romans.
So he relied on doing dissections of dogs and cats and lots of apes.
And he was incorrect because he hadn't dissected too many human beings. He was dissecting mostly animals.
But around the time of Vesalius, the church was starting to open up. So Vesalius, he brings in a lot of cadavers into the lab, examines them with students, but he doesn't rely on Galen's animal-based models to guide the lessons. So what happens?
He actually proves that Galen was wrong.
I mean, it's said that he found at least 200 mistakes that Galen had made.
Galen presumed, I think, 5 nodes of the liver, and Vesalius corrected that.
The mandible. Galen thought it was 2 different bones.
And once you prove that somebody untouchable like Galen is actually wrong, then the whole thing collapses.
And again, this is the time of the printing press. So Vesalius, in 1543, he's not even 30 yet. He publishes his findings.
It's called the Fabrica.
It was the first real anatomy textbook.
It literally means factory. But I think what he was talking about is the machine.
The human machine.
And it really changed the way physicians from then on have thought about the human body.
The book, it's over 600 pages.
I mean, it is a massive book.
It's a big book.
It's probably over 3 inches thick.
The Fabrica, it's divided into different sections.
It's neurologic, a little bit of muscles.
With each one peeling back another layer of the body.
I just love the skeletons.
And Vesalius, as he's writing this, he had an artist at his side. So it includes hundreds of really stunning woodcut illustrations of the human body.
It's amazingly beautiful.
They're often posed in very human ways, set against quaint Italian landscapes.
With the trees and the little villa, the river.
The College of Physicians has an original edition from 1543.
It is one of the things that when I first started working here, I took off the shelf in silence, opened it, and kind of bowed before it. Because as a librarian and as a book freak, it is just an extraordinary thing to behold.
So I've seen this book, and it is gorgeous. The Mütter Museum has it out on display as part of a special anatomy exhibit. But as accurate as he was for that time, Vesalius doesn't get it all right. He actually makes a bunch of mistakes. Ladies, he does not get the female reproductive system. But look, he's trying to break out of a mold of what he and other doctors had been trained to accept and see for hundreds of years. That's not easy. And it's actually in that process, that struggle even, that Dr. Mangione says lies Vesalius's real legacy.
He's the first to say the emperor has no clothes.
He helps establish this whole notion of skepticism in science.
So I think what Vesalius does in many ways teaches us that things that we take for granted as absolutely true, in reality they may not be.
Mangione thinks about this a lot as he teaches physical diagnosis to new students. He asks them to look beyond what they're taught to see, to what they're really observing.
We tell medical students that the magic word in science is bullshit. I mean, you really have to challenge anything that comes before, and you have to demonstrate that indeed is accurate.
Now, when Vesalius does this and challenges centuries of accepted knowledge, he faces a lot of backlash from the medical establishment. So much so that he supposedly burns his notes and drops out of academia. Then in 1564, Tanya, he dies in a shipwreck.
Wow, that's an incredible contribution to medicine.